Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Friday, August 26, 2011. I hope you do not have travel plans for Tucson to the East Coast this weekend because it's going to be a mess. What can you say? A historic occasion, I guess, a hurricane of proportion that perhaps the folks in that area have not seen in 50 years. So it should be kind of an interesting weekend to observe it from afar out here in Arizona. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on KVOI AM 1030. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station and the Voice Network and our simulcast partners in Douglas, where folks are listening to us on 930 KAPR, and in Gila County up in Globe, where Eastern Arizonans listen to the Buckmaster Show on KJAA AM 1240. And of course, we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com, where all of our shows are archived for 24/7 listening. Also, thanks to our new partnership with the online news service, the TucsonSentinel.com. Our programs are also available anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, we begin with the Friday Focus interview with a newsmaker. Then at the bottom of the hour, it's the Friday Reporters Roundtable, and we close out the show with Weekend Watch with the man we call the Culinary Cruiser, Matt Russell. Friday Focus newsmaker today is with Ward 6 Tucson City Council member Republican Steve Kasachek. Joining me in our conversation with the councilman is Dylan Smith, speaking of the TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan is the publisher and editor of TucsonSentinel.com, and we invite you to join in the conversation. The Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040, or toll-free from anywhere in North America, 1-866-725-5467. You can submit questions at buckmastershow.com or on the Buckmaster Show page on Facebook. Friday Focus is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. And so we are off and running with Dylan and Steve Kasachek. Steve, Councilman, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for the invite. Appreciate it.
Well, there's never any shortage of news when it comes to the city of Tucson. First of all, how's the 911 system? Has it been fixed?
Well, if that's a yes or no question, the answer is simply no. Unfortunately, this is a problem that goes back nearly a year now, quite honestly. This began back in the budget cycle for the 2011 budget, when the city manager threw the chum out on the water, saying that we are going to cut across the board 15%. I contacted him within a heartbeat of having received that and said, you're not going to touch police and fire at 15%. By your own admission, Mr. Letcher, that will result in 150 firefighters and 200 cops, and we're going to be shutting down firehouses, and we're not going there in this budget cycle. Not with respect to 911, though, that would have required us vacating chairs. This is a system that runs 24/7. The safety of the public relies on it. When you call 911, you don't expect to get a long ring time. You don't expect to get a dropped call or a busy signal. This is not a situation where we can afford to just have people have chairs vacant. It's also not a condition where you can afford to have people working excessive amounts of overtime, and that's where we are right now. We implemented furloughs. The same policy was implemented with respect to 911 as was implemented across the board citywide. And so what would happen is, for instance, if you were a 911 operator and you were on your furlough day and Dylan was coming in to take your place, Dylan's being paid time and a half money to sit in your chair. Arithmetically, it didn't make any sense. If the purpose of the furloughs was simply arithmetic and budget, then this is a class of employees who should not have been involved with it. So early on in the budget cycle, I said to Mr. Letcher, we're not going there with 15% across the board in 911. The safety of the public is too important. You can't be vacating chairs. You can't be having people working 10 and 12 hour shifts in that environment when they're working their 50th and 60th hour of the week either. If you're calling in and you've got some sort of a cardiac thing going on, or you're needing to get CPR instructions over the phone, you want somebody who's at the top of their game. You don't want somebody who's working at the end of a work week on top of overtime. So The problem was is that the General Services Department was running 911 at the time, and they saw the 15% instruction from the city manager and said, well, okay, in anticipation of that, we're going to stop hiring. We're not going to fill for attrition. If we lose somebody, we're just going to wait, because I don't want to hire somebody and then have to lay them off in a couple of months. It wouldn't be fair to the new employee. Quit a job, come in, and have that revolving door going on. And so we began digging our hole in terms of staffing almost a year ago. We are not competitive in the marketplace in terms of salary that we're offering 911 dispatchers. At the last study session, I presented to the city manager and city staff a list of the top 10 cities by population among the state, and we are number 10 out of 10 in terms of what we're paying our dispatchers.
Now, So if I call 911 right now, can I be assured I'm going to get some service right away?
We are having technical problems that haven't been fixed. Quest is still on the shop floor trying to make those repairs, give them high marks for digging in and trying to do it. We still have staffing problems. We have 43 911 dispatchers right now on the payroll. 22 of the 43 are at step 3 or below, which is in their 14 steps, which means basically almost half of our workforce in the 911 dispatch center are entry-level employees right now in terms of training. We have problems, and we're working through them. Now, I will say this. Management of that department was handed to Tucson Fire. Tucson Fire should have been running this thing all along. The very brief history on it is that when the city implemented the 911 system, they considered it a phone system, and so they gave it to General Services. Well, it's not a phone system. It's a public safety system. And fire should have been running the fire EMS side of it all along. Finally, they're in the driver's seat, and we hope to see some management changes.
Steve Kasachek is with us. Let's bring in Dylan Smith. Dylan, your question.
Are there, beyond 911, are there any other areas where furloughs have negatively affected services, either directly through services provided by the city or through arithmetic that doesn't make sense?
I would take the position that all of the furloughs have negatively affected services in general throughout the city. I mean, I was coming up here today riding past some medians, and everybody knows that through the monsoons, weeds grow. We don't have the staffing right now because so many of the people are short-staffed, and the furloughs just exacerbate that problem. In terms of the arithmetic, it can be easily argued that if we not only eliminated the furloughs but increased the staffing for some members of the finance department, we would be able to go out into the community and increase our sales tax revenue just by knocking on doors of businesses saying, you need to pay the taxes that are due. If the Rio Nuevo Multi-Facilities District Board was paying attention, they would understand that if it weren't for the work of the City of Tucson Finance Department, their tax increment financing, their TIF revenues, wouldn't be at the level they are now. That's an area where we ought to be not only eliminating furloughs, but increasing staffing, because it means dollars into the budget.
Are there a significant number of businesses out there who aren't paying in like they should?
Well, I can give you an example. Just by way of example, a year ago at this time, the TIF revenues were about $5 million less than they are right now. And so there are significant dollars involved in that, yeah.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question for Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, Ward 6, please feel free to give us a call. If you had to vote today whether or not to retain Mike Letcher as the Tucson City Manager, what would your vote be?
I've been pretty direct in suggesting that I've been pretty direct in suggesting that there's a need for a change at the top. We have had problems with respect to the 911 center. We just fought a battle of trying to drag information out of the city manager's office throughout the budget cycle. We now have a Parkwise situation that arguably the city's
parking program.
That's correct. The city has known about it for going on a year now.
Allegations of mismanagement.
Well, it's demonstrable mismanagement. People have been fired over it, and there are investigations going on now. We have two forensic audits going on regarding Rio Nuevo projects. We have an FBI investigation going on. We just saw the handover from General Services to the fire department for a 911 system that, if the city manager had asked the fire department or any of the surrounding jurisdictions, that would be Northwest Fire, Avra Valley, Picture Rocks, Golder Ranch, and Three Points, if they wanted this new system, every one of them would have said no.
Okay, so I'm the mayor, and I'm calling for a vote right now. Steve Kasachek, Mr. Letcher, does he stay or go?
Well, I have been pretty straightforward. I've said we need a change at the top. You can't keep punting accountability to your mid-level people. Now, let me say this, though. You said I'm the mayor. I would like to see the two mayoral candidates stand up with me in front of a camera right now and call for that accountability. I'd like to know where they stand on that, because if they're going to be, we are going to have a new mayor here in a couple of months, and we haven't seen any debates yet, and it's time that we get them accountable.
Well, we'll have a debate right here on the Buckmaster Show, I assure you. Are we ready with Dave? American Dave is ready. American Dave, you're on with Steve Kasachek. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. That was a very good answer, by the way. My question is, you mentioned the mediums, and I'm leaving Douglas, Arizona right now. I noticed this town here, Sierra Vista, Bisbee, they use lots of people in orange, which I'm assuming they're prisoners. Why couldn't the city of Tucson, hate to see anybody lose their job, I know labor is tough right now, but why don't we use prisoners to do some of that work?
Thank you, Dave. Listening to us in Douglas on 9:30 a.m. KAPR. Go ahead, Steve Kasachek.
And it's a good suggestion, Dave, and we are. We have some corrections employees also have to supervise, so it's not quite as simple as you might suggest. In fact, I was at a real lower level about a year ago. I was out at the Pima Animal Care Center saying, why don't you get some of the prisoners over to just do simple things like walking the dogs and get them out of the kennels. The problem is that you have to bring supervisors along. It's not a straight, well, we'll bring prisoners out and just let them freewheel on the medians. So there are some dollars and costs involved, and also the safety of the public. But we are doing it. We're having them fix potholes right now in some of the neighborhoods, and so they're doing it. But perhaps not to the extent that we should be.
12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Steve Kasachek is with us, 790-2040. When we come back, after we hear from the fine Buckmaster Show sponsors, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, will be ready and up in the batter's circle here with a question for Steve Kasachek. Let's take a break right here. Back in a couple of minutes.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. It's 12:21. I am Bill Buckmaster, and this is The Buckmaster Show, and the home of The Buckmaster Show, KVOI, The Voice, AM 1030. It's Friday focus time. That means there is a newsmaker with us in studio. The newsmaker is Tucson Council person from Ward 6, Republican Steve Kasachek. With me is Dylan Smith, publisher and editor of TucsonSentinel.com, and Dylan is up with the next question.
I've got a burning issue for you here, Steve. It's, you've been in office how long now?
Almost 2 years.
And this is something that's been comes up every time your name gets mentioned around town for since you've been running more than 2 years now. People all over this town pronounce your name different ways. Does that bother you that people don't quite know how to say your name? And for the record, how do you say your last name?
Is Steve Kasachek.
Kasachek. Okay, so I've been screwing it up.
Yeah, but you know what? That's okay.
Thanks, Dylan.
it is totally fine.
As long as they're talking about you, right?
Listen, I've worked in the athletics department for 23 years, and if anybody what was tough for me to get over was when I call somebody now for city business, and I say, this is Steve K. And then I have to say my last name because I'm not sure they know who they're talking to. So.
Got another question?
Yeah, I've got some real questions as well.
Kasachek.
The Pima County Republican Party has been through a pretty tough year or so. A pretty divisive congressional primary. The whole Brian Miller sort of, the ongoing controversy. You couldn't get a mayoral candidate on the ballot. What's going on with the Pima County Republican Party of late?
Well, I mean, you just described it fairly accurately. It's been a circular firing squad for the last 6 or 8 months. My concern is that they have been so focused on the internal squabbles that they've really lost focus on how they're going to support candidates going forward. They can't even find candidates to go to get on ballots. One of the few things that a party is supposed to do is to put together a get out the vote campaign. It's to recruit candidates. It's to train candidates. It's to go out into the marketplace and find people of like mind, or even similar mind. I guess I won't say like mind because if I said that, I wouldn't be in the party right now probably. But similar minds, so that they can get on ballots. Teach them how to do that. Go out and get signatures. Two of the three candidates couldn't do that at the mayoral level, And so now we're left with a write-in possibility. It's taking your eye off the ball and focusing on things that, especially in an election year cycle, ought to be, let's work these things out behind closed doors. Unfortunately, with the popularity of social media now, if a person says something in a closed door setting before the door is open and people walk out, it's on Facebook or it's on Twitter, and the whole Southern Arizona knows about it. So I think they've completely taken their eye off the ball in terms of what they should be doing during the election cycle. It's unfortunate, but that's where they are.
You've been pretty critical of late about a number of your fellow Republicans at the state level, people in the state legislature, but voting on things that you and a lot of other people, Democrats, say hurt Tucson.
Well, during the last legislative session, we saw between, and I don't remember the number right now, but I was writing about it back then. I think the number was something like 23, what are just clearly preemptive pieces of legislation. It had to do with how you hire and fire at the city level. It had to do with salary levels. It had to do with whether or not you had to bid out jobs. It had to do with things such as having guns in public parks. In my most recent newsletter, which came out this week, I highlighted yet another one that's now going into effect, and it is the city of Tucson is leasing property. The Tucson Water is leasing property owned by the city to remote control airplane operators and some habitat control, solar arrays out in the Ever Valley area. And oh, by the way, now a piece of legislation is coming into effect that says the city of Tucson has to allow hunting on that same piece of property. And my sense is that the city ought to be able to put up a no hunting sign on a piece of ground that is owned by the city of Tucson that is being leased out to other public uses. That's an example of the kind of legislation that it might give somebody who is sponsoring that law a chance to puff himself up and throw his chest out and say, look, I just kicked sand into the city of Tucson's face, and doesn't that make me a big guy? The problem is that it doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't support the constituents' interests in this locality. Let's be honest about it. The city of Tucson has got a poor history right now in terms of the image of Rio Nuevo, and you say that those words and people's eyes roll to the back of their heads, and so it is now the bully walking along on the beast kicking sand in the city of Tucson's face and saying, I'm going to keep riding that horse to my next political goal. My point is, enough of that. Let's pretend that we represent the same constituents, even if you, and they do. In fact, the problem is these are people who are representing Southern Arizona and in the Tucson area. Let's get beyond the point of finding the negative and focusing on the negative. We have a newly reconstituted Rio Nuevo Multi-Facilities District Board. We have a City of Tucson Council. It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys. We can't get along. We can't play well together. And to the extent that the legislature keeps churning that pot, we're going to continue not to be able to work together for the greater good. So my problem with what's been coming out of Phoenix is that it just keeps that pot being stirred, and I don't see that as being a productive way to create good public policy.
Is it easy for the ledge to come down on the city of Tucson and on Pima County because they're both essentially controlled by Democrats?
Well,
is that the reason for it?
And let's not mince words. When the state legislature cut funding for some public safety dollars that were supposed to come into this area, and I took exception to that. The answer was, quite frankly, from Russell Pierce, why should we send Dupnik any money? He opposes 1070. Well, all right, Russell, it's not your money, pal. It shouldn't be about personalities. It should be about, if you've got dollars to allocate to Southern Arizona for public safety, send it on and set your partisan politics aside. It's about the greater good. It's about what is good public policy, not how can you advance your own political agenda.
It's 12:28 on the Buckmaster Show. Steve Kasachek is with us. I don't know if I got it right or not, but it's close enough.
The K was right.
Okay. We're almost out of time, but I know you met with some competing interests. The downtown Ward 6, your area, is downtown. Are folks coming together downtown, the people that make the decisions, the business leaders?
You know, it's so important to be able to get people in the same room at the same time instead of sharing emails, one by one. And we've all played the game of telephone where if I say something, by the time it gets around to Dylan, it's a different message. It is so important to be able to have people in the same room and say, look, if you've got an issue with something Dylan's doing, or I got an issue with something you're doing, let's work it out. We're seeing that happening now. Within the last week, I had a meeting with probably 15 people in the room, from city staff to business operators to neighborhood representatives. And we finally had a chance to talk through some issues, and we are seeing a lot of private sector development going on in the downtown area. Those are the kinds of conversations that have to happen.
Steve, thanks very much.
Sure, you bet.
Steve Kasacek and Dylan Smith. Dylan, stick around. We've got the Reporters Roundtable coming up.
Absolutely.
Okay, 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. And Steve K., have a great weekend.
Thanks, y'all, too.
Okay, thanks.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Tropical storm force winds have started arriving on the coast of the Carolinas as Hurricane Irene moves in. The National Hurricane Center says the storm's outer bands are bringing sustained winds of at least 39 miles per hour. Commuter transit systems in New York City, New Jersey, and suburban Philadelphia plan to shut down as the storm gets closer. Crews finally gaining the upper hand over some huge wildfires that have been burning across several western states. A radical Muslim group claims responsibility for a deadly car bombing today in the capital of Nigeria. Wall Street heading into the final half hour of today's trading. The Dow is up about 75 points. The Nasdaq ahead 48. The S&P 12 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:33 on the Buckmaster Show. It is a Friday, and we are on the home of the Buckmaster Show, KVOI, The Voice, AM 1030. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We present the Friday Reporters Roundtable about this time every Friday, featuring local journalists sounding off on the week's top stories. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable, Mark Evans is here. He is from TucsonCitizen.com, and Dylan Smith is from TucsonSentinel.com. and we welcome you to join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. And a reminder that the Reporters Roundtable is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
It's good to see you. And, of course, I already welcomed Dylan because Dylan was with me interviewing Steve Kay. We finally figured out how to get his name pronounced right, but I'm not even going to try to do it.
Steve Kay works.
Steve Kay works. Actually, it's been a pretty busy news week, and I think I'm going to begin, Dylan, with the Attorney General Tom Horn suing over the Voting Rights Act review. AG Horn is filing a lot of lawsuits.
Making a lot of political points with the lawsuits.
Is this just a perception I have? It just seems like we're kind of suit happy.
Well, if there were any chance of this suit having any effect on the redistricting process, they would have had to have filed it a long time ago. You can't file a lawsuit of this sort of import and expect to get it through all of the courts in a couple of months. That's just not going to work that way. So it's another way of pushing a political issue.
This is all part of the hysteria over the redistricting in Arizona and the Democrats trying to steal the state away from the Republicans. And he's supposed to be investigating redistricting because of violations of open meetings laws and contracting laws and the like. And it hasn't gotten really anywhere with that. And now one of the things that's limiting redistricting is the need to keep minority voting power intact, and that is it prevents a more competitive districts because you have to maintain those minority districts, especially in the Phoenix urban areas and in the city of Tucson. I don't know what benefit Arizona will get necessarily out of attacking the Voting Rights Act, even if he were to overturn it. You're still not going to see a whole lot of change in redistricting. So if it were to occur, it would be for the next decennial. It wouldn't be for
and
this year.
And I always wonder about the timing of these things. Where did this come from?
It's all about the timing.
There's no chance. There's no chance. The Voting Rights Act has already gone to the Supreme Court. It's been upheld.
Well, there is a process under the law where a jurisdiction can prove that it no longer discriminates and that it's eliminated every vestige of, terrible discrimination from the past and get out from underneath that pre-clearance. Right now Arizona needs to submit any change in districts or election procedures to the U.S. Department of Justice to be approved because we've had, an entire history of discriminating against people.
And relief from preclearance usually comes from the Justice Department. It doesn't come from filing special action in
federal court. Exactly. There's an administrative procedure that you have to go through to do that.
And right.
Essentially, Arizona doesn't seem interested in actually following through on that and getting out from underneath preclearance. It's just, we're going to file a suit because people will write about it and we'll come on the radio and talk about it.
And while we're talking about redistricting, I'm not sure the public really understands redistricting. It's something that journalists do follow very closely because it's really important. But again, we're redrawing the congressional boundaries and we're also redrawing the state elected legislative boundaries and the Pima County supervisor boundaries.
Right, and I believe even the city of Tucson has to redraw its boundaries.
Every 10 years.
Right, and part of what drives that redistricting is the one person, one vote rule of the 14th Amendment, or the 15th Amendment. I'm not sure which amendment.
Yeah, one of their
post-Civil War amendments. Anyway.
You've been looking at these maps.
Yes, the maps that... they were called grid maps. They haven't really come down to the nitty-gritty maps for the legislative and the congressional districts, but they have. It is the apportionment of political power in Arizona, and it will affect Arizona politics for the next 10 years on the state and the federal level. You've got Senator Frank Antonori wants to run for Congress, potentially against he doesn't want to run against Gabriella Giffords, but if that turns out to be we're going to get a ninth district in Arizona. We only have eight right now, so there's going to be an open district somewhere that could be down here in southern Arizona, so people are going to line up to run for that. And then where you get districted in could determine whether you actually want to run for Congress or not. And so we need We need a map. We need to know who's going to be in what district. And then in the legislative districts, it's the apportionment of the 30 legislative districts in Arizona. And on the county level, it determines the five supervisors.
What did you find out on the county level?
Well, they just released a map this week, in which it looked like they were just going to be doing some tinkering. But again, in that one person, one vote rule, they needed to balance out the districts. And all the growth was in just a couple of districts over the course of the last 10 years. And so you had districts that were way out of balance. District 5 only had like 75,000 people in it, whereas Ray Carroll's District 3 is Bronson. He's 4. And that's Valdez. Anyway, Ray Carroll's district. You're right. Yeah, I should have. I did, actually. It's in the car.
People on the radio.
Ray Carroll's district had the most. And so you would thought that there would be more balancing out between the two of those. And it turns out most of the balancing is coming out of Sharon Fronson's district, where she had the most competitive district. The Ray Carroll's and Ann Day's districts, the two Republicans, were mostly entirely Republican. And then you had Ramon Valdez's district and Richard Elias's district, which were mostly Democratic.
Ray Carroll is from District 4. Thank you, Rosemary.
Thanks, Rosemary. I know, I was right,
Rose,
but then I
had it for
panicked
us on
for
the screen
second.
There. Okay, it's District 4, Ray Carroll.
And District 2 is Ramon Valdez. District 5 is Richard Elias, and 1 is Ann Day. And then Sharon Bronson's in 3, and Sharon Bronson's was the most competitive. Well, her competitiveness in this map that's being drawn is sliding away, and it's becoming much more Democratic. A lot of Republicans in Marana have been pushed into District 1. And if that goes through, it could pretty much guarantee, depending on how the growth goes in the next 10 years,
that
majority of Democrats will control the Board of Supervisors for the next 10 years.
What do you, are you following these redistricting lines as closely as Mark?
Not as closely as Mark is.
You didn't bring your map with us.
I've been looking at other things on the internet.
Yeah, we got to move on because there's really some other things that really pretty big stories. TUSD board president Dr. Mark Stegeman demoted. Dylan, do you want to begin on this one? We have a new board president.
A new board president in Cuevas, and he's still he hasn't been the firm supporter of the ethnic studies, the Mexican American Studies program that a lot of the supporters of it would hope him to be. He's been sort of a swing vote on that issue, and that's. It's essentially that one issue that triggered the rest of the board, the three members of the board, voting to hand the leadership of that body over to him.
Mark Stegman's a really smart guy. I mean, he's an MIT economics educated professor. But his oversight, especially of board meetings, has been quite questionable the last few months. And it's really ticked off a lot of people who are energized about the ethnic studies debate. There's a division on the board now. You've got Judy Burns and Adelita Grijalva versus Stegman and Hicks, with Miguel Cuevas kind of in between. They were successful. They convinced Cuevas that there needed to be a change. But he's a really young guy, and he doesn't really take a leadership role on the board.
Isn't he still studying at the University of Arizona?
I think so.
I'm
curious to see how. Well, he'll do a better job in running the meetings. Whether he'll do a better job in leading the district, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But in terms of running the meetings, I don't think anybody would have been able to have properly managed these meetings the last few months of the way things are going.
From both sides, those meetings have been very, very heated.
The extremists on both positions get up and just pound away at the board and to no effect. It doesn't really affect the public policy at all.
So other than certainly Dr. Stegeman's feelings being, I'm sure, hurt, he's probably not feeling really great about what happened. Is this a big deal?
Well, he's still on the board. He still has a vote. This is just merely he's no longer going to be chairing the board meetings and deciding who's out of order and who needs to sit down and be quiet.
The board president's really mostly ceremonial anyway. You don't have any real extra power. You don't even have really control over the agenda like you do in some other governments. It's mostly just running the meetings, and run a bad meeting, you get run out of the job, I guess.
Our friends listening in eastern Arizona, very interested in this story, and here in Southern Arizona, throughout Southern Arizona, a Tucson man and his cousin Dylan have been charged with causing the Wallow Fire in eastern Arizona, which burned more than a half million acres. I believe it's the largest wildfire in Arizona history. Now, what's the connection to this story and Senator John McCain?
Well, there was a press conference. I don't remember if it was while the Wallow Fire was still burning.
Yes, I think it was.
If it was after, was that? Well, it was still burning.
Still burning.
McCain was up in Eager or Springerville or one of those towns
touring
that was
so
badly
area,
affected. And said, I'm not going to try and quote his exact words, but said something to the effect of that illegal aliens were responsible for some of the fires burning down near the border. And a lot of people took that to mean he was talking about the Wallow Fire. That's where he was. That's the entire topic of the rest of the press conference was, here's this terrible fire. And he says, illegal aliens have started fires. Most of the rest of the country who aren't so aware of the geography of Arizona took that to mean that McCain was saying that an illegal immigrant set the Wallow Fire.
There were two fires burning at the time.
The one in the Chiricahua is a huge fire.
I guess there's three fires. Yeah, the
Chiricahua fire.
You had the Monument Fire down at Sierra Vista.
Right.
And then
the fire whose name
I forget that was over in Tumacacori, over by Tubac.
Okay.
And all three of those are in known smuggling corridors, whether it's drugs or people. Smugglers in the past have started fires, with campfires at night. Which a lot of them aren't doing campfires at night because that tends to attract the Border Patrol. Was it discarded cigarettes? I mean, who knows? But those are in known smuggling corridors. So we don't know who started those fires. We only know that they were human-caused because there was no lightning going on at the time. They're still under investigation, but...
The Arizona Republic has a supportive lead editorial today in the Republic, defending John McCain and saying McCain is basically right. The Forest Service backs this up, that illegal immigrants do cause some of the human caused fires.
They've examined over the past, I think it's past couple of years, 47 wildfires. I can't remember exactly what the time period is. 47 wildfires. Out of those 47 fires, they've proven that illegal immigrants or smugglers caused five of them.
Right.
I guess it's certainly not
31 of 457 human-caused fires from 2002 to 2011 in the Coronado National Forest area.
It's just more scapegoating of illegal immigrants. That, if we didn't have this illegal immigrants, we would be much better off and we wouldn't have all these fires. Well, we'd still have fires. I mean, there's still a lot of Americans out there causing fires, including devastating fires that burned 500,000 acres of
We've got the largest wildfire in the state's history caused by a couple guys who were out camping and took a walk.
So allegedly. I mean, we haven't really seen any evidence of how they've connected, their campfire that they said was out to the fire. I mean, one of the interesting things to me was they had their two dogs at their campsite were tied to the trees, and they couldn't get back to that campsite for 2 weeks, and they got back to the campsite. And one dog had died from dehydration. The other dog was still alive. So it doesn't sound like the camp area burned. You would have thought that those dogs might have burned to death.
Well, it depends on which side of the camp they were.
So they,
fires burn away in a V
several
from the
miles
point
away. Board, I mean, it would be interesting to see how they prove that in court, that an ash from this particular fire pit blew 2 miles downrange and set this fire up.
And Dylan, I want to give you a little credit, and you weren't here last week, and the story was actually week before last, but I think you were among the first to report about Frank Antinori filing paperwork for his exploratory run for Congress. I mean, what's the motive here? Is he really that serious about it, or does he just want to position himself?
Well, I think he's serious. It's, he's probably right that if Gabby Giffords runs again, she's going to be damn near unbeatable. That's what he's saying, and he's probably got a good political calculus there.
Brings us back to redistricting. He's got to wait for a map. I mean, he could get drawn into Raul Grijalva's district, and the Arizona Redistricting Coalition that had the public create their own maps. The winning map actually puts not Antinori, it puts Giffords into Grijalva's district. If they were to adopt that map, which I think is an excellent map, that could create some interesting politics in Arizona.
Well, so, all she's got to do is move a little farther east and rent a place.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the big guessing game is, when will Gabrielle Giffords actually speak to the media and all that? I mean, what's the thinking from each of you?
A woman
guys?
Got shot in the head, yeah. And she's trying to recover from that. I'm giving her all the time she needs.
Of course.
You know, if she doesn't decide until next year, hey, I'm done, I can't do it.
And
that causes a mad scramble, then that causes a mad scramble.
And somebody pointed out that Congressman Colby, when he made his announcement that he was not going to seek reelection, it was over the Thanksgiving weekend before the election year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's still some time here, right?
Yeah, politics have changed a little bit. Even though it's only been, you know, since 2006 when that happened, or 2005.
But people are pushing for a speedy decision. I don't know if we're going to see that coming. There's nothing that requires her to make any sort of move until May of next year.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Dylan Smith and Mark Evans, thank you very much. Both of you have a great weekend.
It's a pleasure, Bill.
Thanks.
Thank you,
lot.
Sir.
Let's find out what's going on with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection at Golf Links and Kolb and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
We are twisting and shouting out by the pool. When you hear that music, you know on the Buckmaster Show, it is the weekend. Yay! On AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice and The Voice Network. Joining us now, the culinary cruiser, the host of the Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show, Mr. Matt Russell. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Bill. How are you today?
I'm all wound up, fired up, ready to go, and ready for some hot salsa. And I guess you want some tequila with some salsa, right?
Absolutely. You know, salsa and tequila have always been two of my basic food groups. But listen to this. Tomorrow is a big day in Southern Arizona. Up at La Encantada on Skyline and Campbell, it's the Southern Arizona Salsa and Tequila Challenge. Now listen to this. Starting at 4 p.m. tomorrow, your listeners are going to have the chance to taste up to 30 handcrafted salsas made by those competing in the event, ranging from the most mild to the super hot, which is how I like it, for only $10, and then beginning at 6 o'clock, right still up there at La Encantada, it's the Tequila Challenge, and $35 gets you in on a tasting of tequila-based cocktails. There's going to be nearly 20 of them. Now, there's two rules. The competitors need to make their tequila-based cocktails with tequila, and it's not allowed to be a margarita, so you have to think creatively about how to make these great tequila cocktails. We're all going to be able to sample all of them. And the proceeds benefit the Southern Arizona Arts and Culture Alliance. This is going to be a great time.
Oh, it sounds like a lot of fun. And I'm assuming, Matt Russell, that I do not have to bring my own chips for all of it.
They will provide you with the chips, so you will have plenty of things to dunk in these custom salsas.
And those tequila shot glasses.
Indeed.
One of my favorite, paella, is always is fun. You know, I think I first tasted that many, many years ago when I went to Spain. Something about a paella party this year?
Yeah, absolutely.
This
weekend? The second annual paella party is actually this Sunday at 4 o'clock up at Contigo, which is a great restaurant up on the northwest corner of River and Campbell. They specialize in Latin American cuisine. And Sunday at 4 o'clock up at Contigo, your listeners are going to be able to enjoy a variety of paellas prepared authentically, and by that I mean outside over a wood fire. And there's also going to be a gorgeous buffet of Spanish appetizers. And, of course, Bill, what paella party would be complete without a little Spanish wine and some sangria?
Oh, of course.
How does that sound?
Of course. So, boy, you're going to be ready for, I think, an actual pig roast. You'll be, Matt Russell, you'll be ready. Make sure you bring the Hawaiian shirt because it's time to go South Pacific, folks.
Absolutely. Yeah, picking out the right shirt for the occasion is going to be difficult because I think that's darn near all I have hanging in my closet.
In fact, you're wearing one right now at Russell Communication on Casual Friday, I predict.
Are we on Skype? Are we Skyping? You can see me right now, Bill?
Amazing. I'm just guessing that you're in the Hawaiian shirt. You've got shorts on. You're doing the Buckmaster Show. Waiting for you, a couple of Mai Tais out by the pool. By 1:15, you will be out of Russell Communications, your headquarters building there, beautiful building in the foothills, and you'll be out by the pool.
That's great. You know, I could not do the Bill Buckmaster Show in a three-piece suit. It just wouldn't feel right to me.
Tell me about the pig roast.
The March of the Muai is going to be the second anniversary of the arrival of this great 42-foot-tall tiki head that we all grew up with over there on Magic Carpet Golf Course. Now, our good friends over at the Hut on 4th Avenue relocated that tiki head a couple of years ago to their great lounge there on 4th Avenue. So Saturday at 7 p.m., the March of the Muai, there's going to be live music, there's going to be a great fire show, and you nailed it, Bill, an authentic Polynesian Mexican pig roast. So between the paella and the salsa and the tequila and the pigs, I don't know what else there is to do this weekend.
So that's where the tiki head wound up, huh?
42 foot tall. And I met a woman a couple of weeks ago that actually procured the giant tarantula that was about 3 stories tall. And she, I think she has that in her backyard. It's quite something.
Oh, Matt, have a great weekend.
You do the same, Bill. Thanks.
All right. Friday Focus and the Reporters Roundtable presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. Buckmaster Show is also brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at FlowersRieger.com. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, on behalf of Team Buckmaster. Our producer, Rosemary Brandt, so the team, you can do a team with 2 people, I think. Anyway, it's Bill and Rose. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. I'm going on vacation, can you tell? I'll be back with you on Labor Day, but please tune in to the Buckmaster Show live on Monday at 12 noon. Have a great week.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.